Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists, and musicians.
And I'm award-winning singer-songwriter and music documentarian Marcin Novelli, founder of the electronic rock band Midnight Soundtrack.
This week, we're pleased to welcome actor, musician, and podcaster Jordan Woods Robinson to the show. As an actor, Jordan's worked alongside Sir Anthony Hopkins, Colin Farrell, and Donald Sutherland, and is part of the prestigious Blue Man Group. Jordan can currently be seen on AMC's hit series, The Walking Dead.
Jordan released his sophomore album, Crazy and Back, in early 2015. He is also the co-founder of SOSstudio.co, an online recording company networking musicians, vocalists, and engineers around the world. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Thank you. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
What's up, guys?
This has been a long time coming. We've been talking back and forth via Twitter for months now, I think.
Yeah.
For a long time.
We touched base and then life happened and things didn't happen and then stuff happened and here we are happening things.
Absolutely.
Here we are.
Tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Most interesting thing today was that I heard some rustling on my roof, and I figured someone was walking around on my roof, as people do. Mm-hmm. And I climbed out my window, and I climbed up onto the roof to see what was going on, and there was about 15 vultures up there on my roof, and then just as many on the roof across from me, and then also around here, and then a whole cloud of them circling up in the sky. There was a possum that had an unfortunate day, and it was on the street in front of my house. Anyway, that's not really about me, but that just tells you, you know, my day. I am a musician. I grew up a multi-instrumentalist. I guess that's good to know. I grew up in Tennessee with playing fiddle is my main thing. Dollywood. You guys heard of Dollywood?
Heard of it.
Maybe?
Yeah. It's Dolly Parton's theme park in
Pigeon Forge. Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Did you not know she had a theme park, Marcio?
Yeah, so I used to work there in Dixie Stampede, and then I went to school for theater. What else do people not know about me? I'm a vegan.
Unite. One of the main reasons you're on the show.
No, I'm just That's kidding. Right.
No, no, it's a big plus. Ross was like, I don't know about this guy. I'm like, he's vegan. And in fact, he didn't want you on the show because of that. But he's anti-vegan.
But Ross. Then you told Ross that I was on a Mac, and he's like, oh, well, we have to
have
him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of how it went.
Yeah, exactly. Playing both sides. How did you know? You're like, you know,
I'm a triple agent. I'm playing both sides here.
I thought so. Yeah.
SOS Studio. But that was, you know, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Cool.
So you studied at Tisch School of the Arts.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to how you feel your education there set you up for a career in the creative industries, and what the most important thing you felt that you took away from there might be.
That is awesome. In my time at Tisch, the really cool thing about Tisch is that, first of all, it's a huge class, which is kind of intimidating. There, you know, tons and tons of people on campus, so that can seem weird. But the way they justify and rectify that is all of the acting students are broken down into different studios and then different classes within that studio. So depending on, you know, you go in with an audition and like a monologue and an interview when you're first auditioning for the school. And from that, the mentors kind of decide, oh, I saw this in him. I think he'd do really well in this studio. I think that would, you know, speak to him as a performer, as an artist, as someone who can you know, it'll resonate with him more, this style of teaching it. And that's cool. That's great going into such a large community with such diverse actors and teaching styles. And the studio that I was in was called Playwrights Horizons, which is also a theater in New York. They have their own, you know, theater company, but they have one aspect of the theater company, which is Playwrights Horizons Theater School, which is at Tisch, and it's teaching whole theater. So it's not just teaching actors, it's teaching designers and directors and producers.
Oh, wow.
And it's teaching all of you side by side. And the idea is you can then go off and start your own theater company or put up your own show or X, Y, and Z. And so what I really got from that was building a toolbox, you know, having so many different ideas are coming at you, so many different theories of how you should do this. I mean, acting is like religion, you know, it's like everybody's got a different idea of how to get there and everybody's saying the exact same thing, but it just, you know, it just, whatever is true for you. And so building all of this and I actually didn't do any film and TV work until after college, until I'd done Blue Man for a couple of years and then I moved to Orlando and did film and TV there. So all of my training was in theater, which really prepared me for the Blue Man experience, which was awesome. Awesome.
I really like that comparison.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
You're all going to the same place.
Yeah. And I think it's true about food, too. I mean, like health, like everybody.
Right.
There's so many different ideas of how to be healthy or whatever. And it's all, everybody's saying the same thing. It's just your own personal truth.
Yeah, and I'm saying that, you know, vegan is the best way.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right.
I'm outnumbered again. This is happening more right now.
I know. I'm trying to get a bit more vegans on the show. It's kind of subconscious, kind of not.
He's trying to convert me. He's trying to bring me over to the light side,
you know,
but I'm still like hanging out over here in the dark.
Just as a side note, it's not actually like so much. I just want to kind of spread the knowledge a little bit. I just recommended Forks Over Knives and Cowspiracy to him because I think one touches more on the health side of things. The other one touches it completely, just gives facts on the environmental side of things. It's not up for debate, you know.
Yeah.
Agriculture is the leading cause of global warming. It's not debatable.
There's a cookbook that I love. It's called, of course, it just flew out of my mind. I was like, I'm going to talk about that, and it's gone now. It's by Mark Bittman.
Okay.
Bittman. Yeah. Anyway, he is, is it Food Matters? Maybe it's Food Matters.
Maybe.
But this guy's a critic and a chef and a food connoisseur. And the story that he puts in the foreword of his book, he's having all these health issues. He goes to the doctor and the doctor says, look, I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. If you don't adopt a plant-based diet, you're going to die soon.
Oh, wow.
And Mark Bittman says, I can't do that. I'm a food critic. Have you met me? That's, you know, I have to be able to eat everything. And he said, well, you figure it out then. And so his challenge was, he decided that for the first two meals of the day, he eats vegan. And then for dinner, he'll incorporate some form of animal protein, but it's forced him to look at all of the ways that the rest of the world incorporates meat into their diets. Because in many of Western, you know, society cultures, meat is the, you know, you put the meat on the plate and then you fill up the space with some other stuff around it.
Right.
But in many other cultures,
most other cultures,
you cook with vegetables and stocks and broths first, and then the meat is the last thing that you add to it that provides that next level or that extra texture or flavor or whatever
right.
it is, just that, you know, just kind of rounds it out. So anyway, that's what the whole cookbook is him saying, look, this is my justification for this. I'm, you know, I need to change the way I think about eating, but I can't kick everything out of my diet. So this is how it makes sense to me. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, going back to the your education, but I just want to ask, well, trust me, I could talk about veganism forever.
Believe me, he could.
Just going back to education for a sec, I just want to get your opinion on education versus experience.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's one of the chicken before the egg questions, you know? It's like, I think the experience will allow you to be honest and you know, come to the table with the life experience, the memories and everything else that you need in order to completely relate to what it is that you have to achieve. But the education is there to allow you to replicate that a time and time again, you know, to be able to
right.
not just feel it and perform it once and then move on, but to be able to feel it and learn it and process it and save it in different compartments of your body so that you can recall it at any time, you know? And that's, I don't have much life experience. I grew up on an animal rescue farm. I mean, I've seen some amazing stuff. I've seen some hard times, but I've never been one to want for anything. I've never been one to go through any major loss in my family, knock on wood, you know, anything like that. And And so like that usually is what people think of when they think of experience. It's like, oh, I used to live under a bridge and now I'm a CEO. You know, like that's life experience. But I've never had anything like that, you know? So that's where the training comes in, of being able to take a story of my, you know, remembering a time when my dog died or whatever, and using that to tell the story of the world's about to end or whatever. You know, I'm just making stuff up.
It's kind of the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, to us.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely room and need for both, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you said, I think the education helps you to take the experience and apply it in a way. It teaches you maybe the techniques that you need to really express it in a way that works.
Like as a designer, like I was speaking just as an actor, but I mean, it's true as like, you know, a designer, for instance, where you see something that you really like, you see a website that you're like, that's incredible. I want to be able to implement that into my future projects. But then, and so that's the experience. That's the knowing what you like and knowing what moves you.
Yeah.
But then the technique and the ability to capture that and to change it and to implement it into what you're doing is the education side of it.
I like that.
Yeah.
And well, all that's brought you to starring in The Walking Dead, a show
that's
right. Some of you may have heard of. Can you tell us a little bit about the audition process? That's what I'm really interested in. And also, how does it feel to be part of one of the biggest shows in the world right now?
So I'll talk about how it's a part of it. It's really, it's just incredibly awful. And
yes, you got me there.
I know, we laugh as if no, there's no way it could be awful. It could be awful.
Maybe he's being serious in a way. He's like, seriously, he's like holding up a sign. It's like, it says, "Help me."
I've got producers over, like they're just running through the door and like put a bag over my head. No, the show is fantastic, man. It's like I heard all these stories before getting onto the show about how the cast was a family and like everybody was just like family. That's just the word that everybody used to describe it. And I was like, that's cool. That's an endearing way of maybe, you know, maybe somebody came up with that. But it's like just being on set. And the first person I met was Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl. And he's like the very first person I met. And he comes up to me and he just says, "Welcome to the family." And he gives me a big hug. And
aww.
I was like, this, like, the family thing is not made up. This is how everybody, and I think it's such a heavy-handed show that, you know, and lots of the actors and the crew and everybody are just super friendly and super lighthearted. So there's joking in between, there's games, there's all sorts of other stuff. Like, unless it's a scene where they have to, you know, stay in it, then everyone respects that and they allow the process to happen. But if it's something that has a little more flexibility, then in between takes, it's just people hanging out and being really good friends and having a good time. And I think that helps juxtapose, you know, and even out the nature of this incredible show. But the audition for all of this was awesome. So I'm in Orlando, Florida, which is not widely known to be a hotspot for film and TV projects.
No.
But it is. There's a good amount of stuff here in the Southeast. The nice thing is all the way from Atlanta and some stuff in South Carolina down to Miami, it's all considered like a kind of a local casting pool. And there are lots of episodic projects, there are lots of movies going on. And so living within this area, you're eligible to go in for any of that, even if it's in another state. So we actually book a lot from tape. So you can see I've got a video camera right here. I've got some lighting stuff set up. I've got my acoustic panels and I've got diffusion panels, some other stuff in the space. But I booked everything for Walking Dead from this room right here.
No way.
I never went into the casting director's office. I never met a producer. I never shook hands with the director. It was all, they send the sides, which are fake. Everything is completely fake. You don't know your character name because there's such a following. And they're about 2 years or so behind the graphic novels, you know? So anybody who's read the graphic novels, if they got a glimpse of any spoiler, then they'd be able to anticipate where the show was going. So I put it on tape against this wall, and I was actually out of town the first time that I got an audition for it. And I originally auditioned for, this is not a spoiler, Ross, so
prepare.
I'm being very sure not to give spoilers, but I auditioned for the role of Aaron, And didn't get that. And I was like, fine. And then the next week, the producers came back and said, hey, we know we didn't take you for that, but we want you to audition for this. And so I auditioned for this next role. And I was on vacation with my family in a remote cabin an hour away from any cell service. And I was able to get the notification. And we filmed it against the kitchen wall. And and we just happened to have our camera with us. And then I got back to Orlando, and they sent a request for a couple adjustments. And the showrunner, Scott Gimple, brilliant man, sent some notes and said, you know, can you make these adjustments? And I sent it in again. And then they called me and said, you need to be up here in 24 hours to start filming. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
It was really, it was quite intense. But it was one of those experiences where it was such high octane that I was just completely frazzled and didn't sleep much and all that. But a friend of mine said it really well. She said, this is a sign to you that you're going to do well and the universe has plans, but you're going to lose a couple of years of your life trying to get there. You know, it's just like, it's going to wear on you. But it's been awesome. And the show is just fantastic. So it's a real honor.
We are so happy for you, man.
Thanks, dude.
We really are.
Yeah. And I'm really excited. I love your energy. For season 5, because as I was saying to Jordan before the interview, I've not seen any of season 5, which is where your character comes into it. I'm really excited. It's going to arrive 4 days after we record this interview, and I'm probably going to end up watching it in 3 days. So
yeah,
just how it normally goes. So yeah, I'm excited, and I will be messaging you to tell you what I like about your character.
Please.
And what they should have done. You know,
yeah. Yeah. Send me an email. Let me talk about it. It's great. I want to hear all about it.
So tell us about SOS Studio and how it helps musicians, vocalists, and engineers.
Totally, man. So SOS Studio started off as a project a number of years ago. I've got at NYU, I had a mentor. Her name is Elizabeth Suedos, and she's an OB award-winning composer and playwright and music director and all this other stuff. She's incredible. But I worked with her for a number of years, and I got Blue Man Group, and I got pulled away from New York and thus under her wing. And she gave me a challenge. She said, write one new song a week. She said, it doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be your favorite song. It just has to be finished. It has to be out of your head so that you can make room for the next one. And I said, cool. And I waited a little while, and but then I took the challenge very literally, and I actually, you know, I was in my studio, and I would write, record, mix, and post a new song each week onto my website. And I got burnt out pretty quickly. I did an album. I did 13 or 14 songs. And I tried emulating a different style each time. Anyway, I'm getting off the topic. Eventually, I started bringing in more collaborators. I brought in a mixer. I brought in a drummer. And then I started bringing in vocalists and more guitarists and people who could do the instruments that I was playing better than I could, so that I could put up a song and then I could have professional freelance studio musicians fill in all the parts with their ideas. Because I think that, you know, 5 ideas are better than one. I was noticing that even though I was emulating different styles of song, of music, of bands, they all ended up sounding fairly similar because they were all coming from my brain. Every single instrument was coming from my brain, regardless of how much I tried to, you know, play differently than I would normally. And so opening up to professionals that effortlessly just lay down their first instinct and it's worlds beyond what I could come up with was just very eye-opening. So SOS Studio has grown out of that, and we're now a community of songwriters, and we support each other by helping record new albums. I'm launching a new distribution package right now where people, you know, can come to us, and we'll put you up on iTunes and Spotify and Amazon and Google Play and all that other stuff.
Oh, wow.
You keep 100% royalties. You know, like it's for the songwriter. The idea is, I want to help you reach huge levels of success. And I think that times are changing. I think that streaming music is here to stay, which I'm sure, Marcio, you'll probably agree that might not be the most ideal thing to hear as a musician and as a songwriter and as an artist, but I think it's here to stay. I don't think it's going anywhere. And I think that our challenge is to find the ways to make it a plus for us, you know, make it a tool that we can use effectively that will actually be great for us. And my first theory right now is that I think that the world of albums are going to be gone soon. I think it's going to turn
Which
into
is
singles.
So sad for me. I'm an album guy.
Oh yeah. You know, well, so I mean,
not only as a music listener, I love albums, but also as a songwriter, I write songs, but I write albums. You know what I mean?
Right. So yeah, I'm speaking of albums as like the compilation of songs, not necessarily the physical discs. But
right.
Yes.
No,
so,
me too. Yeah. The actual. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's going to be gone because I think the main thing that we're going to have going for us is that we can consistently release great music so that our audience is always engaged. And as soon as they've heard this one song enough, we throw another one right at them and say, you like that one? Check this one out. As opposed to waiting for 2 years for the album to be done, you know? So that's what SOS Studio is. It's helping people record singles and albums 2 weeks at a time. Everybody knows their gear super efficiently, so we can bang out tracks and mixes and mastering like that, and get your music from a scratch track to iTunes in 2 weeks, basically. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been great. You know, it's a challenge for me, but the main thing is I really want to help people. So if something looks like it's not helping some of my songwriters, then I adjust it. It's me. It's a one-person show, and I'm trying to just get to that point where everything clicks and everybody starts seeing, you know, just great advancements in what they've been doing. And, you know, so part of it is giving them the tools to do it, and part of it is giving them the inspiration and the do-it-yourself tip so that you have the control over it all by yourself.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was like a 5-minute elevator speech.
If this was Shark Tank, if this was Shark Tank, and I had millions of dollars, then I would be investing in you.
Exactly. Oh, wonderful! Thank you.
I would be. You'd have won over.
Our membership that we're trying out now is $5 a month. So it doesn't take millions of dollars. It's $5 a month. So
nice.
And that's a new thing. I'm trying to find ways to. I've been supporting everything financially. I've been, because it was a project, it's been coming out of my pocket, but now trying to switch over to the idea that this is community driven. This is, everybody has some stake in this, and trying to find ways that people can contribute very small amounts and still get great things from it, you know?
I love that. It's kind of the idea behind Netflix. Contribute a small amount and everyone benefits if you get enough people to do it. Not anything like Netflix, you know what I mean? This small membership. And,
yeah.
Anyway, are you ready for 20 questions?
Are you sharing your Netflix password with people? You're like, yeah, I just put $8. No, my whole family got Netflix.
Awful.
Sure, I'm ready for 20 questions.
Awesome. Let's do this.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
This one's redundant, but meat or veggies?
Meat.
I was going to say, just to say. TV or Netflix?
Netflix.
Twitter or Facebook?
Currently Twitter.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yoga.
Lost or 24?
Lost.
Lost.
Is that a question? Wait.
I know it.
Which one of you is 24?
I'm lost.
Well, I like both, but I would probably say that I do lean a bit more towards 24. Just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit.
All lost.
We just keep going back.
I know, right?
Pendulum all is lost. Swinging, like, crazy,
that's
right?
Going to keep happening.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Good one. Friends.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Gavin DeGraw or John Mayer?
Gavin DeGraw.
Ross has been stalking you.
Yeah, I have. Canada or Scotland?
Oh, come on. That's not fair, guys.
I think it's quite fair.
I have family from both.
Oh, really?
So
I can tell.
Yeah, no, it's true. Both.
Look cool. At that. You can do that. Two of my personal favorites: Family Guy or American Dad.
Family Guy.
Zombies or vampires?
Zombies.
Tina Fey or Amy Poehler? I'm sorry, that's a tough one.
Oh.
I don't know if I could pick.
I could pick.
Really? Who'd you pick?
Yeah.
I'm going to wait for Jordan to answer first. I don't want to influence his decision.
I'll say Tina Fey.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I love Amy Poehler too, but Tina Fey, you know, she, 30 Rock, she wrote Mean Girls. She,
yeah, Bossy Pants is fantastic.
Yes, Bossy Pants.
I've read excerpts from that, yeah.
However,
I
just went back and watched the new Wet Hot American Summer series. And
any good?
Yes.
Yes. It's,
oh,
it's,
my Lord, is it amazing.
It's so good. And it's like, they're just like the original. The great thing is they stayed so true to the original like style of the movie, where there are a million punchlines and setups and everything else going on, and not all of them work. Some of them are just so freaking crazy that you're just left there wondering why you're watching this. But the ones that do work are just mind-bogglingly good, and they didn't change that thing. That's how the original movie was too. You know, it's just like, this is how we're going to do it, and it was fantastic. Plus, it's great seeing everyone 15 years older trying to play
teenagers or like
years younger.
I've still not watched it, but it's on my list. It's on my ever-growing list of things to watch.
Check it out. Christopher Maloney's arc. One of my favorite parts of the new series is Christopher Maloney, who's beard guy.
Right.
The chef, the cook, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Dude, the range that he shows in this is just hilarious. Just fantastic. So yeah, check it out.
Breaking Bad or Homeland?
Breaking Bad.
Good choice. Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Seth Green or Seth MacFarlane?
Oh. You know, I feel more of a personal connection with Seth Green. Don't know
why.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Huh. Just from seeing him, maybe it's the generation thing. Maybe it's I saw him in movies when he was younger before I saw Family Guy. So maybe there's a little bit of history there. Plus, he's a redhead. So
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Gervais. Yes. Animal rights.
Yes, although he is not vegan or vegetarian, which I find a little bit of dichotomy there. And there are a few animals he's like, it's okay to kill these animals, but not these animals. So he's got to kind of figure his shit out, but hey, he's doing better than some celebrities.
Come on, Ricky.
Come on, man.
Talk to him about it.
Well, we know he watches the show regularly every week.
Oh, so yeah.
Okay, good, good.
Whale or kale?
Oh, that's fun. Whale kale. I like whales. I like kale in smoothies.
Me too.
Not necessarily. Kale chips, I've tried many, many times, and for some reason, I sometimes get a little bit of a headache after. I don't know if it's maybe some of the spices.
Maybe you're detoxing when you have it.
Yeah.
You need water.
Yeah. I only eat kale chips when I'm massively hungover, so I don't...
I wonder what it could be.
I don't know where the hangover's coming from.
Yeah.
But
I think
whales.
We figured
I love
that
whales.
One out. Yeah. Yeah. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Oh, I like Bette Midler, and here's why. She's got, I mean, do I have to give a reason why?
You don't have to, I mean.
But she is, I've heard so many stories of like the stage fright that she has, you know?
Oh,
like
really?
She's got massive stage fright. But she's a performer, she's a headliner, she's got her own show, she leads movies, and she just overcomes it, and she embeds herself in the character or X, Y, and Z, you know, and I think that's awesome. I every time I see something by her now, I think of that and I watch her trying to find those moments when there might be a glimpse of stage fright, and then there's none.
Do you relate to that?
She's a queen. I relate to it in the sense that whenever I'm not doing something, I'm a very introverted person. Somebody defined introversion one. Normally, being introverted has a bit of a negative stigma to it.
Yeah, which it shouldn't.
And somebody defined it once, and I heard this, and it resonated so profoundly, and I love it, is that an introvert is someone who is energized by being alone.
Yes.
I've read that too. Yeah.
And I think that is such a clear, wonderful way of saying it, because it's true. It's like I have boundless energy when I'm alone, but then you put me in a situation where I have to be on, or I have to do something, you know, it wears out pretty quickly, or I end up shutting down or whatever. But so I resonate on that degree, but no, I've always loved being on stage, and if I do have those nerves, I usually just translate it into the performance
I love that. We all need to do what we have to do to recharge our batteries, you know.
Yeah,
okay, so. And I'm sorry for the last question.
Okay.
Ross or Marcio?
Oh, wait, wasn't that the...
No, it was Canada or Scotland?
Just
the countries.
Now you have to choose between the individuals. I can't think of another word.
We're so messed up.
Okay. Again, not so just because of like the whole Seth Green thing, and going back to just you anticipate it. You see it coming. I'm tempted not to give it to you because you see it. No,
come on.
I don't
give it to someone. Just do something.
Okay, Marcio.
Yeah,
because I wear lots of hats like that. What are they called?
Fedoras.
Is that a fedora?
Yeah, I think this is fedora. I don't know.
Okay,
that's what I call it.
I wear lots of hats.
I'm swooning now. Now, Jordan, we want to know what you think one of the biggest mistakes aspiring actors make when they audition.
Great. Okay. The biggest thing is walking into the room and trying to show the creative team or whoever's auditioning you, showing them what they want to see. Mm-hmm. That's your number one mistake. One of my favorite things that I look back on about my career is that I was so young and so stupid when I did so many things that my naivete often gave me the confidence to book the job. And I mean that by, I would be the person who wouldn't overthink it. I wouldn't sit there thinking, oh, what do they want to see? What are they looking for? What's their, you know, how are they going to judge me? I would read something and I would go with the first impulse and be like, that's it. That's the perfect thing. And I take it in there and I end up doing something that's different from what the other 30 people before me have done. And that sticks out. And either it works in your favor or it doesn't, but at least you got to be true to you, you know? And I think that's it. I think it's embrace your naivete, because if your naivete turns to something where someone has to come to you and say, hey, that's not how we do it, then you can use that as a learning experience and say, oh, I didn't realize. I'm sorry. Okay, cool. Great. Let's fix it moving forward. But oftentimes, that naivete is going to allow you to really shine as your personal individual self and show you for your truest self, you know, and allow you to do it without coloring anything, without judging yourself, without putting on any ideas of what should happen, and you just do it, and you do it 100%.
I love that. Nice. I love that. I think that can relate to a lot of different things, too.
Sweet. Yeah, cool. Totally.
Yeah. Could you give us one music recommendation, one TV recommendation, and one film recommendation? First thing that comes to your mind.
Okay. What have I was just watching something on Netflix. I enjoyed it. Oh, well, of course. I was just watching Arrested Development.
Ah, yes.
The new series. Mm-hmm. You can never go wrong with Arrested Development or Breaking Bad. So both of those. Music recommendation. Oh, goodness. I've been listening to a lot of Mumford & Sons lately, and I don't know what to think about their new album. Hmm. Do you guys find that?
I have actually not listened to the new album. Okay. I love the first album, but I've not listened to... I know there's a dead thing in between, actually.
Dude, they went for a complete departure. They went from, like, they got the same producer as Arctic Monkeys, and so now there's not an acoustic track on their new album. It's all, like, driven rock. Just drastic departure. So if nothing else, listen to it. If you're a Mumford & Sons fan, which I am, and they've got that really heavy folk vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Go listen to the new album, see what you think, because it will shine a completely different light on the band. There's no banjo, there's no stand-up bass, it's all electric guitar and drums and keys and everything else, just like you would expect from Arctic Monkeys. And what's the third thing? Music?
What's your favorite film of all time?
I never know the answer to this one.
You pick one. First thing that comes to your mind.
First thing that came to mind was Amelie. Does that count?
It's a film, so it counts. It's a French film.
Let's see. Oh, is it really? I'll have to watch it.
Oh, dude.
Watch it.
That is a film for
Do you
artists.
Want to change really? Your answer from Ross or Marcio, because Marcio doesn't know what Amelie is?
No, he doesn't. We have to move on anyway, so you can find Jordan online at jordanwoods-robinson.com. Go visit the studio, sosstudio.co. And on Twitter and Instagram, he is at jwoodsrobinson. That's Robinson, 1B, 1N, 1S. So I guess I can just spell it out, JWOODSROBINSON. But Facebook is / Jordan Woods Robinson.
Yeah, full name. I know, it's all... having the hyphenated name is difficult sometimes.
Yeah, we have the hyphen. Well, we have the hyphen in our Bridgie Atlantic, and it drives us nuts.
Yeah, right?
It really does.
It gets at you. By the way, where can I find you guys now?
Well, look at that. He just set us up. You are. I like you. So I'm running for my next solo album, as well as I've just released my side project, Midnight Soundtracks, debut album, 4Play. You can hear my solo music at marcionovella.com. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which are all / marcionovella.
And I'm working on websites for various artists at the moment, and you can check out my work, my blogs, at electrickiwi.co.uk, and you'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
This episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton Presents. Find out more about what Chris does and how he can help you at chriskeaton.com.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show, visit bridge-the-atlantic.com/sponsors.
Awesome. We sound so pro saying our sponsors now, eh? Yeah. I feel like Jordan,
I'm going over to Chris Keaton's site.
Yes, do that. Man, this has just been great. Thanks so much for coming on. Come back on again soon, please.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.